the character of God. A lot of things about the purity of his wisdom and understanding and his character. The fact that he changes not. 1 John's an interesting epistle. I started it so long ago I cannot remember. But I'm determined to see this baby through if it takes me till retirement, whatever that is. Okay. When John wrote this letter, he's writing to some people. He's writing to, I think, an area of Ephesus, but of course it's for all believers. But he's writing to some people who've been confused. They came to know Christ as their personal Savior. When they came to know Christ as their Savior, they confessed their sins, they came to him, and they received him as a message of God and the one who could save them. Eventually, there were a group of people. I don't know who they were. They certainly aren't what we call the legalists of Galatians in the early days. They seem to be people who said, look, the old fundamentals are okay. The old ideas are fine. But we've come to understand new things. We have new light. We have a greater understanding of spiritual matters. We've been initiated into this. Now, not everybody understands that. But we have this understanding and we have this light. And they began to teach things that change the conduct of the people and change their beliefs. Eventually, John looked at the people over there and he said, there's some things that are wrong. One of them was their concept of sin. And another was going to touch the idea of the person of Jesus Christ, that he was not born in the flesh, that he was not the Messiah. So John is dealing with a problem. I'd like to know more about it, of course, but he's dealing with a problem that people have forgotten what God is like. They've forgotten something about the character of God. And John begins this book, and the main idea of this chapter was the fact that Jesus is a real man. And through Jesus Christ, we can have fellowship with the Father. And we can have full joy. Obviously, the things they're teaching did not give people full joy. I have cable television. I shouldn't confess that, I suppose. My favorite channel, besides Turner Classic Movies, which I'm addicted to, old movies, are stuff like National Geographic, the History Channel, the old Learning Channel. And I like these programs about other cultures and their beliefs. And they show the cultures, and they show how they live, they show their morals, and they might even tell something about the gods or the God they believe in. And after a while, you begin to realize this. Then a man's character is probably determined by the God he worships. A man's character is most likely patterned after the God they worship. When they're low, I saw Mel Gibson's new movie. I know that some don't like his movies, but this movie about the natives in Mexico. And I understand it's pretty factual. But of course, their culture was changing. Something was taking place in the land, the weather, the crops, and they began human sacrifices. They began them on a large scale, sacrificing human beings to appease their God. So what John wants to do this morning, and I think, well, is that John wants us first. This is a key to the book. Let's start at verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we, and verse 10, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Let's pray. Father, we ask you to teach us as we read these verses, truth about yourself and about the Christian life. If our image of you, Father, is not what the Word says it is, we may not live the kind of lives that we need to. Open our hearts this morning. Open our eyes. We would see Jesus, and we would see him in our lives and what he wants to do. We pray this in Jesus' name. So these people in the jungle, other religions around the world, even sophisticated religions, their character is like the God they worship. And so they can't go any higher than what the God they worship. Their concept of God is such that God is vengeful or mean or sinful or vindictive. What John needs to do here to help clarify the subject is to make a statement about the character of God. And I believe this is a very important verse in the book. I wouldn't know if it's a key verse, but it's very important. Because as John opens up the subject of fellowship with God and fellowship with one another, he opens up the subject of sin and the things that break that fellowship. And he seems to think that these men had a false view of God. They were deceiving the Christian, chapter 2, verse 26 says. They were deceiving the believers, and the believers getting confused about sin. We might be saying something like, well, you know, the body is mortal. It has needs. It's going to die, for goodness sake. And one day it will be renewed. It will be a resurrected body. But, you know, how long can you fight these passions? How long can you fight this? But, you know, why is it? What's the difference? As long as you worship God in your heart. If you really love him in your heart. If you really have a feeling you love him in your heart. What's the difference how you live? As long as you hold the truth. And John wants to say something that is very important. So John is going to say this, is that God is light. And his children must walk in light. And he's going to explain this. Now, frankly, I find it hard to explain. I find it hard to explain. We sang the song, and it used words like unchangeable, glorious, marvelous, inaccessible, unable to see, hidden from us. And yet when light is made known, light is to change our lives. So the foundation of this fellowship with God, he uses it in verse 3, and he uses it over here too, verse 6, if we say we have fellowship with him. Fellowship is something in common, it's sharing. It is some unity, it is something that we think alike and feel alike and do alike. And it's warm, and it's nice to have fellowship. And so John wants to talk about this. So I'd like to give you a brief outline. Maybe this would help you the next time we speak is the last Sunday this month to speak here. Chapter 1, verse 5 to 2:11 is talking about walking in the light. And John will say in this portion that walking in the light, number one, verses 5 to 7, and we'll talk about this morning, is that to walk in the light, you have fellowship with God and believers. And then John will say, verses, chapter 1, verse 8 to 2:2, that the consciousness of sin and confession of sin is the assurance of Christ's work in our lives. That there are times when we have to come before God and we have to confess some sins that we have done that break fellowship, not our salvation. Chapter 2, verses 3 to 6, he'll be talking about walking as Christ walked. We'll have to handle some of these as time goes by, because he's certainly not talking about imperfection, in obedience, in honor, honoring God, glorifying God, obeying God. And then chapter 2, verse 7 to 11, he would talk about how this affects our love for one another. I might say this, when you read John has a habit, sometimes a little irritating. has the habit of introducing a subject and then dropping it. And then another chapter later, bringing it in again and saying more about it. And then dropping it. And then moving on to the next chapter and saying even more about it. This is what some Bible scholars teach. They teach in their commentaries kind of a spiral effect. Mentioning it here and it keeps going up to higher truth. So John will mention some things in this chapter, and he kind of drops them, and then he moves on, and he'll mention them later on. But John's main point is this. What is our God like? Who is he? And if I understand who he is, it will affect the way I walk with him, the way I live my daily life. So, first of all, we know that light was manifested when Jesus Christ came into the world. Right, the message that he brought from the Father is the message of light. I'm the light of the world. And Jesus Christ brought this message into the world. And there are many verses. Now, I'm going to be reading many verses and quoting many. I don't think you'll be able to keep up with me. So, as I always say, write some of these references down or look them up. But in John chapter 8, verse 12... an important verse, 8:12. Now, this is the context of the woman who was caught in adultery. And, of course, we know the story. The Pharisees were going to stone her, and the Lord came in and says, if there's anyone here who hasn't sinned, you cast the first stone, and no one did. And the Lord said to the woman in verse 11, she said, no one condemned you. And he said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. Then Jesus spoke to them again, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Notice everything light means here, the light of life, understanding, spiritual matters, walking in darkness, walking in sin. He certainly is saying to her that if she understands who he is, manifesting the light, showing light in this creation, showing light to people, that this woman will stop her sin. So, he says, I am the light of the world. And the Lord Jesus Christ has connected that with understanding who he is and understanding about sin. When you and I talk about light, and of course I wrestle with this theologically, you know I'm not that brilliant, and I wrestle with these concepts. I want to understand them. I want to be able to present them in such a way that you say, whoa, I never heard that before, and you'll go out all enlightened. I don't know if I can do that. I'm just going to be playing with words. And it kind of embarrasses me that I'm not as smart as I want to be. But light has to do with God's nature. There's no darkness in God at all, he said. It has to do with his nature. You'll also see as you study light in the scripture regarding God, it has to do with truth. Light is truth. There's no light is knowledge. And of course, in this knowledge, it can be intellectual knowledge, but it's also knowledge of God. Light is connected with righteousness. A person who walks in the light walks righteous, walks as he walks. It's connected with purity. There's a verse that talks about that talks about walking in light and not living in lust and lewdness. Light reveals, it shows things for what they are. In the dark, everything seems to be the same. Light comes on and it shows the way things are, really the way they are. Light reveals, light shines. When we talk about God as light, we talk about his splendor and glory. And I think that song is an attempt to try to explain all of this. And he uses all these words. But it has something that's revealing, self-revealing. Light is seen. Light wants to be known. Genesis chapter 1. With darkness over the face of the. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And what's the next thing we see about light? The sovereignty of God creating. Light manifests that there's a God, and he has power, and he creates. And then he creates human beings. And what's another thing we learn about the light that God has? He sees when human beings have disobeyed him. So the light comes in and reveals his sovereignty, his power, his creative ability. And in the light, shines upon human beings that he created. He cannot hide disobedience from him. He cannot hide sin. They tried to, right? They ran and they put leaves on and they were embarrassed and they felt something. And he said, what are you feeling that for? I don't understand why you would feel that way. And he manifests this. So light has to do with splendor and glory. It reveals the character of God. It reveals the power of God. It's self-revealing. He wants to be seen. It's purity. More of purity. And it's also guidance. Thy word is a light, a lamp under my feet, and a guide to my path. And John is concerned about this. 1 Timothy 1:16, and he uses this in his song, that light is so brilliant that no human can approach it. And yet God wants to make himself known, so he sent his, the person of his Son into this world. That's why later on in chapter 4, if anyone says that Christ has not come in the flesh, he's deceiving himself. And the Lord Jesus Christ is bringing this light, this message into a dark world. And when you see that message and you see how the word light is used, you understand things about the character of God. He does not sin. He is bright. He's clear. He's revealing. He's loving. He's caring. And he can judge. Now, darkness in the scriptures, when we look at darkness, and you see John uses no gray area here. Light, darkness. There's no gray area in this. Because these people have got caught up in playing with all of this, this, well, I don't know what you want to call it. These ideas that, you know, I can be living in sin and I can still worship God, or I don't have to hold the fundamentals of the faith that was for the early Christians, and I can still worship him because I have feelings in my heart that are warm or real. But what John is going to say here is important. So darkness has to do with falsehood. When you read the scriptures about darkness, it's falsehood. When you read about darkness in scriptures, it is ignorance. A person who lives in darkness doesn't know where they're going. A person who walks in darkness is likely to stumble. A person who walks in darkness has no light, no understanding about things. They're just kind of walking, blundering along. Light reveals truth. Darkness is ignorance. Light exposes what exists and shows us what is right. You and I know when we came to Christ as our Savior, the lights went on. Now, mine didn't go on very bright. I'm not a very bright light bulb, folks. I'll tell you that much. And they're still a little dimmer in my head. But the lights came on. Even after we saved a week, I saw things I never seen before. And I remember the joy it brought to my life. Little things that became clear. Little things that I began to understand. Now, these false teachers claim to have received a special knowledge that only God will give to a certain few. They were initiated, whatever it is, in these temple rites or whatever they thought they had. Mixing, perhaps, some of Judaism from the apocryphal books, mixing some philosophy, mixing who knows. John lived in an age where anybody who studied Roman history will tell you that they simply say there are hundreds of gods that were worshipped during the time of Rome. It seemed to me these guys might have been mixing this up, some syncretism. So darkness stands for falsehood. Darkness also stands in the scriptures for something that is opposite of the Christian life. I want to read some verses and show you that when Paul talks about walking in darkness and walking in the light, he's talking about believers. He's not talking about unbelievers. He's making it clear that believers can walk in darkness. He's making it clear that believers can walk according to the values of the world around. That's what was happening to these people. They became confused about morality. They became confused about worship. They became confused about daily responsibility. So I want to read some verses here. And again, I hope they're not distracting, but it is this. Darkness stands for the opposite of light. And Let's read these verses. Ephesians 5:8. You were once darkness. So that's your pre-converted thing. You were once in darkness. Darkness what? Well, you didn't understand about God. You didn't understand His character. You didn't understand about sin. You didn't understand that God revealed Himself in the person of Jesus Christ to take away our sins. But now you are light in the Lord. So before you're saved, it's darkness. But now you are light in the Lord. Now, walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness, righteousness, truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. And it sounds like John almost does. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. So you were in darkness, now you are light, but there's possibility that people who have light will not live according to that light, will not live in it. But they will live according to the values of the world. Colossians 1:13. Colossians 1:13. For He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Right. He delivered us from the powers of darkness. Well, the power of darkness and the power of sin. The power that darkness has to keep us from understanding the truth, to keep the truth away from us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. First Thessalonians 5, 4 and 5. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are sons of light, sons of the day. You are not of the night or darkness. Therefore, do not sleep as others, but let us watch and pray. Be sober. Now, you're in light. But let's make sure we don't ignore the light and sleep like other people. Kind of going through this world in a daze. Sleepless, right? Or sleeping and people who aren't aware. For those who sleep, verse 7, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. For those who are of the day, be sober, putting the breastplate of faith and love and His helmet of salvation. All right. So, contrast light with darkness. You're supposed to know how to live. You're supposed to understand how to do this. And then, I'll just quote this, 1 Peter 2:9. Peter said, God called us out of darkness into His marvelous light, and we are to walk as people in the light. So, darkness stands for the opposite of light. It is actually the Christless life, but it's possible here that believers will live in a way that does not show the light. When you come to Christ, you grow, you mature. But you know, sometimes we just live like the world around us. I don't mean houses and homes and cars and vacation. I don't mean that. The attitudes, the morality. Was reading in Christianity Today, the newest one, is a lengthy article about young people and marriage, and you might be surprised if you read the article. But when they take statistics about evangelical young people and moral purity, they're about equal with the world. But the article is interesting. It gives a reason why. Now, it's disobedience, but it gives you interesting ideas about equal with the people in the world. Living just about the way the people in the world live. Darkness in scriptures is ignorance. Our Lord Jesus Christ said in John 12:35, walk while you have light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he's going. Darkness stands for immorality in the Christian life. And this comes out in Romans chapter 13, verses 12 and 13, where he talks about walking light, not darkness. And he mentioned drunkenness and lewdness and lust. So there's moral issues involved in walking in the light. And this is important. The Christless life is also unfruitful. Ephesians 5:11 talks about the unfruitful work of darkness. But I'm trying to make a point this morning. Those verses are not just written to unbelievers. Right? Those verses are written to believers who need to understand how to live for Jesus Christ. They're written to believers who need to know and understand what God wants. And darkness in 1 John chapter 2, 9-11 is connected with hate. And when a Christian hates another person, that's how the people in darkness walk. So what is John saying in verse 5 in all of this? John is simply saying, if we understand the character of God, right, glory, purity. In fact, it says right here in 1 John back over here in verse 6, verse 5, pardon me. This is the message which we've heard of him and declare to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Now, any of you who have studied commentaries or may have studied Greek books know that the idea is literally not one. And one Greek translator, and this is very popular, almost everybody comes up with this, says that in God there is no darkness, not even one bit. Right? There's no hiding in shadows, no duplicity, no dishonesty, no deceit, no sin. He shined brightly, no secrets. Jesus Christ came in to manifest himself, and so he's the light of the world. Now, this message in John is associated with fellowship into which we are brought. John is not saying how to be saved, although obviously unsaved people need to confess their sins and come to Jesus Christ as Savior. John is saying that these people had believed certain things and their fellowship with Jesus Christ and God had been strained. It was not there. And he could tell, one of the ways you could tell is by the fact that they weren't getting along with one another. By the fact that they were having all of this hate and dissension among themselves. And so as John writes that, he is saying these things about God. Then he goes on, and I won't talk about verses 8 to 10 until next time, but he's talking about in verse 6, if we say we have fellowship and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice truth. Now he could be talking about these men, but he's just getting a message over the believers. These men might have said, look, I understand all these things, and I understand those ways. I read that before. I know all that, those doctrines and morality, but God has shown me new things through my experiences and through nature. And this person isn't honoring God. He is fulfilling the lust of the flesh. And John said, this person is deceiving himself. He's a liar. He's lying to himself. And there's no fellowship with God or the Lord Jesus Christ. So what John gives here are tests of the false teacher's claim to fellowship. I've wrestled with this over the years like every Bible teacher. Are these tests so that I can test myself to see if I'm truly saved? Are these tests laid down so I can test myself to see if I'm truly in fellowship and walking with him? But since it's being written to Christians, I believe it's a test for myself not to be saved. But certainly are things I can take a look at, whether we like this word test or not. So he's kind of testing the claims of the false teachers. He's saying to the people, I want you to take a look. If you understand what God says and you hear what they say, something's wrong. See, if you understand the character of God, they claim to be living in God. They fail to reflect God in their moral purity and their lives. And John has two major false teachings. One, they deny the reality of sin. And the second one is they will deny the reality of the person of Jesus Christ, that God has come in the flesh. So the errors of the false teachers were due to their ignorance of the revelation of God in ethical matters. You don't know, just say, I believe God and I follow him and I worship him, means that we have to walk a particular way. We walk in fellowship, walking in darkness. Remember, the word walk has the idea of something habitual, has the idea of something conduct. It has some making progress. And when you see a person walking a certain way, it shows what their character is. Walk has to do with character also. You see people who continue to live this way, it manifests their character. But walking in the light, walking in darkness. Now, people in the world who don't know Jesus Christ are often capable of doing marvelous things. They're often capable of doing very benevolent, wonderful things. They're capable of doing many things. Outstanding things. Maybe in sometimes even outshining believers. But John seems to be saying, what I want you to look at is what takes place between these, the character, the manner, and how these people are living. It may manifest what they understand about God. So John is talking here. Now, even in the Old Testament, the manifestation of light comes out in a moral way. Proverbs 6:23, the commandment is a lamp to me and a light to my path. And I want to turn to Psalm 119:105. Reading a lot of verses this morning. Psalm 119:105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Verse 106. And I have sworn and confirmed that it would keep your righteous commandments. Now let's go to verse 130. The entrance of your words gives light. I love this. It gives understanding to the simple. See, light gives understanding. I opened my mouth, verse 131, and panted, for I long for your commandments. Look upon me and be merciful to me, as your custom is toward those who love your name. Direct my steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me. Now notice, light, your word, direct my steps. So what light does, it reveals. And you and I know, as we get into the Word of God and read it, it reveals again and again many things about our conduct and our attitudes and our lives. So this is rather important. So the errors of the false teachers, their ignorance of this ethical standard of God. And in the Old Testament, there definitely the law and the prophets are described as light. Light always brings truth. It always shows what is false. It always tells us what is right. Now, I realize I'm going to this quite far, but John, who lived with Christ and heard him talk about the light all of the time, I'm the light of the world, I've come to bring light. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Those are all quotes from Jesus Christ, and John seemed to have this in mind. It struck John as right. When John was on the mount with the other two disciples, these three saw the bright light, the brilliant light of Jesus Christ, the pure light manifesting his deity. John seems to think then, if our concept of God is low, our lives will be low. John seems to think if our concept of God is low, our moral lives will be low. So what John is saying, it's not just understanding. Light is given to us to enable us to walk, to do something, to manifest that we are in the light, right conduct, not just right understanding. When there's something that we can be fooled on, you know that, and I know that. We can spend a lot of time studying His Word for arguments, a lot of time studying His Word so that we can show somebody that their opinion is wrong, or defend ourselves because somebody else has attacked us about some verse. But John is simply saying here that we need to live it. So I think this is an important verse in John, isn't it? Right conduct, and it's important. So the conditions were fellowship. Let's read this back in 1 John then. I've labored this a lot, but I believe that this is the key. When I've watched these programs on TV and I watch Mel Gibson's movie, And I saw what their concept of God was and how they treated one another. They had no sense for value of life, how they could treat people cheaply, pour out the blood of people, whatever else it is. I began to realize that their concept of God was low. Now, what are the conditions for fellowship? All right? If you want fellowship in light, God is light, in Him is no sin at all, not one bit. Now, if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie. Talking to believers. And these people might have said it. So what these men are doing is they're living in a way, they're living in sin. If we walk in darkness. So first of all, the fellowship we have is with God, and the fellowship we have with one another. Fellowship is sharing, right? It is something in common. It is sharing a common experience. I like this verse in 1 Corinthians 1:9. I've always liked it. He says, Paul says, we've been called in the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. A simple verse, as he begins to talk about the context of Corinthians, and he begins to talk about how the people have been led astray by their being taken up with their gifts and their arguments and their experiences and everything else. We've been called in the fellowship of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this fellowship then is walking with Him. Now, we need light. We need to walk in the light, and this is important. Now, Harry Ironside said something, and I hope I make this clear too. Harry Ironside had been once involved in a group that believed in a holiness movement, believed that you could go through an experience. He was in the Salvation Army. This is not meant to critique the Salvation Army theologically. Many of them are involved in holiness movement. And that I can have experience whereby I can be purged from sin, that I can actually be holy and walk in this way. Now, Harry Ironside tried for many years, and if you read his testimony, you'll know the frustration and the disgust. And finally, the understanding of what the blood of Jesus Christ has done and constantly does for him. But here's what Ironside says in his little note. He said, be careful not to misinterpret it. He says he's not saying we are to walk according to the light, but we are walking in the light. Now, it made me sound nitpicking, but Ironside said, I thought it meant that if I was careful about obeying every command of God. So he lived looking at every defect. If I could blame, with obeying every command of God to walk according to the light I have, that God would cleanse me of all sin. So Ironside fell into this trap. He spent his time introspective. He spent his time looking at everything in his life. He thought, according to light, I have to measure up to every standard of the light. Well, then Ironside says in his book, it is not where you walk, but how you walk. Walking in the light is very simply this. Seeking to bring our lives, as best we know, in harmony with the truth. But we will sin. We all have sin in our lives. And John is saying that we will sin, and there's the blood of Christ that cleanses us from all sin. It's hypocrisy to pretend we're in fellowship with God and knowingly walk in darkness. The message then that John seemed to be giving here, simply this: if I understand God, I understand light, I will understand some things about my life, my judgment, my fellowship with God, and purity of life. It would be like saying today that ridiculing our morality. I find it interesting, and I mean to be careful about this, but once in a while I'll be watching a talk show or some news show, and they'll have a reverend from maybe the ACLU on and ALU, and he's a reverend, and they point that out very clearly that he's reverend so-and-so. And he gets on and he ridicules all kinds of things about the Word of God. And he gets on and ridicules all kinds of things about our morality. As if we are so trapped and caught up in this word, biblicist, literalists. That we are trapped and under dominion of it, and that we need new understanding. And I like some of the cockiness these people show. The confidence, the self-assurance, how sometimes they may interrupt the speaker. Quietly, nicely, but put him down. Very, very nicely. Because there's this superior attitude that they have. Are people looking at the standards of our time and saying this is puritanical, this is for Christians another time. Years ago, a couple from another church came to see me about premarital counseling. I asked them why they came, and they probably came because it was cheap. They didn't want to spend the money, and they heard from a friend. So anyway, they came. And in talking to this couple, nice couple, I ended up marrying them, and nice Christian couple. They were talking about the college group they were in at the church. And this couple was behaving themselves. They were seeking to do what God wanted them to do, and they were actually told by one of the people in charge, and they gave me details, and I'm nonplussed. One of the men in charge, as long as you love each other and you know you're going to get married, what difference does it make to God if you do it, your sexual life ahead of time? And they said, we don't want that. And that they're actually putting pressure on us. It was a little joke. It was cute, I suppose. They're actually putting pressure on us. We don't want that. But the idea was just very clear. So anyway, you're in love. You're going to get married. You're going to have an intimate relation after you get married. But you know you're going to be married, and God's in this, and God has sealed it already with His Spirit because of your commitment. What's the difference? That's kind of rationalism that took place. So, in our day, people ridicule it. Now, John says, verse 6, we lie. Our life is a lie. Their life is a lie. So we've got to bring our lives into harmony with God's Word. And as John talks about this, it's very important. Remember, it relates to action. It relates to conduct. It relates to morality, more than just thought and feeling. John lays out this verse, and it's very important. So we are to walk in a way that is consistent with the light. But you and I can never walk in a light perfectly. John's not talking about perfection. But as you and I walk, and we begin to understand about things in our lives, the blood of Christ cleanses us, but more than that, even the things we don't know about. The blood of Christ is cleansing us from all of our sins, past, present, and future. And we can stay in fellowship with Him. Walking is a habitual action, conforming ourselves to the sphere of light. And when we understand there's darkness, we understand some particular way, we recognize this before God and we bring it to Him. But even in sins that we don't know about. So walking involves character, not perfection. And it's important for us to understand this very much, because no doubt about it, many Christians today who know Jesus Christ as their Savior are living like non-Christians, and it's almost indistinguishable. It's happening many places and many times. John then starts this portion and makes it clear to these people that they need to walk in the light, follow the Lord, walk in His Word, confess their sin when they're conscious of it, but the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses them from all sin. I'll speak about this more later. And as we go on, one thing about fellowship I want to mention is this. Fellowship means sharing in common. If I have fellowship with God, it means I love what He loves. If I really claim to be fellowship, I love what He loves. He loves Christians. And do I love the fellow believers? Or are there these little views that block us? He loves sinners. And do I love lost sinners and willing to take the gospel? We have fellowship with Him in His desires. The Lord Jesus Christ desires. He desires to glorify the Father. He desires to honor Him. The Lord Jesus Christ desired to put away sin. We have fellowship with Him in His sufferings. As we walk and as we suffer, He draws close to us to encourage us. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship does light have with darkness? So, I've given you a lot of verses and thought. The main thing is, verse 5, what do you think about God? What's He like? In your concept, who is He? Some people say today, well, God loves the world. He's love, so He, love can't punish. Love can't, they may discipline, but love can't punish anyone He loves. He couldn't separate Himself eternally from people. This sort of ideas that take place in the world. What do you think about God and His character? And John is pointing at these men and he's simply telling the church, they don't understand God. They don't understand His character. And they're walking according to their concept of God. And if our concept is low, we will walk that way. If our concept is spiritual concept, we will seek to order our lives in the same way. Next time I will talk more about sin in a believer's life and confession of sin. Thank you, Father, for Your Word. All we want this morning to do, Father, is focus upon You. Your Son came into the world to manifest light. Then what men to walk in darkness? And we see that light is many things: purity, honesty, holiness, glory. And when we look at what the Scriptures say about You, light that is pure and inaccessible, light that we cannot draw close to, but You have made Yourself known in the person of Your Son, we thank You for it. Guard us from bringing You down to the standards of today, from conforming You to the gods of this world. And help us to learn how to daily walk with You in the light. The light is a guide to our path. The light shows us, reveals, and it keeps us from the dominion of sin. We pray You'll teach us these truths in Jesus' name. Amen.